Okay, so if you're an administrative professional, maybe a lawyer, HR manager, or honestly, just anyone who's ever, quickly Googled something like non-disclosure agreement template or maybe business invoice form, then this deep dive is definitely a priority update for you.
Yeah, it's pretty relevant for a lot of people.
Absolutely. We are tracking a really critical security threat today. It involves one of the malware world's most, let's say, successful operations, making a genuinely frightening
We're
comeback.
talking about Gootloader, right?
Exactly. The subject is the highly dangerous Gootloader malware. It essentially vanished from the landscape back in March 2025. That was like a 7-month operational hiatus. And it's now back with a full arsenal of highly sophisticated evasion tactics. These are specifically designed to ignore and bypass modern security tools. So our mission today is pretty straightforward. We're going to unpack the specific, clever new tricks Gootloader uses to slip past scanning software and crucially understand its direct and frighteningly fast pipeline to major ransomware operations.
And the scale is significant too.
Yeah, we're talking about an operation spreading across more than 100 compromised websites and targeting thousands, literally thousands, of unique search terms right now.
And that 7-month break, it clearly wasn't vacation time. It looks like it was time spent really perfecting their craft.
Right.
We have to look at Gootloader not just as, a piece of malware, but as the primary initial access broker for some of the biggest criminal enterprises out there. Their whole job is to compromise your network and then basically hand the keys over to the ransom gangs.
Okay, let's unpack that initial trap then, because it's brilliant in its simplicity, really, and relies entirely on, well, human urgency. It starts with something everyone does, searching for an essential business document.
Exactly right. The initial vector is pure search engine optimization, SEO poisoning. These attackers are manipulating Google results, pushing their malicious but extremely legitimate-looking sites right to the top.
When you search for those common things.
Yeah, when you search for generic high-value items like contract template, bill of sale form, or, any general business template, the scenario is pretty much always the same. You're rushed, you need this document now, and you maybe don't take that extra second to scrutinize the search results.
And the sites look good.
Oh, yeah. They're meticulously crafted, they look professional, often featuring fake user discussions or testimonials to build that veneer of trust right before you hit download.
Okay, so the user clicks the link, thinks they're getting a standard document, they start the download. What happens right at that moment they hit download?
Well, before the transfer even really starts, the site does a quick check. It needs to make sure the visitor is a real human, interacting with a mouse and keyboard, not some automated security scanner or sandbox trying to analyze the content.
Okay.
If you pass that check, you download a standard ZIP archive. But here's the critical deception, the bit that you, the victim, will likely miss. Once you open that archive, the file inside has a .js extension. That's JavaScript.
Not .docx or .pdf.
Exactly. Instead of the expected document format, you'll see something like mutual non-disclosure agreement.js. And here's the visual kicker. The file icon itself is often manipulated to look exactly like a Word document or maybe a generic text file.
Right, because most people, even savvy ones, probably don't have file extensions visible by default in Windows, right? And we're all trained to trust the icon. But a JS file isn't a document, it's executable code.
Precisely. It's not meant to just display text, it's meant to run code.
Right.
Executing that JavaScript file establishes the initial foothold, that is the Gootloader itself, which then immediately reaches out to download much more dangerous payloads, often highly customized Cobalt strike beacons and various backdoors designed for moving laterally through the network.
Okay, so that's the setup, the initial trick.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets, I think, really fascinating, because the trap is smart, yeah, but the genius part seems to be realizing that the tools we use to check the trap, security scanners, the archival tools, those are the real target here. They have these two novel techniques aimed directly at automated security analysis.
Let's dive deep into technique one first. Custom font manipulation. This is basically cloaking content in plain sight.
Yeah, this is it's a really clever use of technical misdirection. So when an automated security scanner or maybe a researcher looks at the website's raw HTML source code, the text that defines the malicious content keywords like contract or NDA, it shows up as complete random gibberish.
Gibberish, like just random characters?
Exactly. It looks like random character strings, you know, OI9Z or something like that. This prevents automated systems from easily flagging the page just because it contains suspicious search terms.
Okay, but the human user, looking at the exact same website in their normal browser, yeah, sees perfectly readable English text. I'm trying to wrap my head around that. How does that work? Are they lying to the browser's rendering engine somehow?
That's exactly right. The source code is telling a lie that only the security tools tend to believe. The attackers use a specially crafted web font. Now, the font's metadata looks completely legitimate, which is why it doesn't instantly raise a generic red flag.
Yes.
But the actual vector pads, you can think of them as the coordinates that tell a program how to draw a specific letter shape. Those have been swapped around inside the font file.
So, vector paths. Like swapping the key to a coded message. Is that a fair analogy?
That's a perfect analogy, actually. The browser requests the glyph, the shape, for the character O, for instance, because that's what the HTML source code says. But the custom font file is deliberately configured to deliver the visual coordinates that actually draw the letter F instead.
Wow.
It's a translation trick happening entirely at the rendering layer of the browser. It makes the source code effectively a lie that automated tools, which usually just parse the raw text, easily fall for.
Right. Hold on, though. If the source code is known gibberish, wouldn't a good security analyst or even a tool immediately flag that as some kind of generic obfuscation, even if they can't read the content?
Well, that's part of the cleverness. If the font file itself looked obviously malicious or was loaded strangely, then yes, absolutely. But because the font is loaded through a standard, legitimate web mechanism, and the characters it ultimately displays on the screen are visually organized into perfectly readable, dictionary-recognized words for the user, the obfuscation kind of looks more like a stylistic choice, maybe for branding or something, rather than a security evasion technique. They're using legitimate web technology to create this illegitimate cloaking effect.
That is genuinely next-level misdirection. Okay, and that leads us straight into technique two, malformed archives. This exploits how different software handles ZIP files.
Yeah, this one is designed specifically to beat the systems used by security researchers and testing labs like VirusTotal. The ZIP archive itself is deliberately structured incorrectly or malformed, but in a very, very specific way.
Why so?
When a regular victim opens and extracts that ZIP using Windows Explorer, which is the default for most users, the malicious JS file is clearly visible and ready to be clicked.
Okay. Normal user sees the bad file.
Right. However, if an automated analysis system, and we're talking tools like VirusTotal, the popular 7-zip utility, or even Python's built-in ZIP libraries that security sandboxes often use, tries to extract that same file, they only manage to successfully extract maybe a harmless text file or some decoy document. The malicious JavaScript stays hidden from them.
So the sandbox or the analysis tool sees the benign decoy content, flags the whole archive as safe, gives it a clean bill of health, and the malware just keeps circulating unchecked out there.
Precisely. It allows the gootloader file to bypass those really crucial initial automated scanning systems, the ones designed to flag suspicious file types before a human researcher even gets a look. They've essentially created the selective extraction mechanism that keeps the truly harmful executable content hidden from pretty much every major analysis tool except the default system the actual victim is likely using.
Okay, so once that initial infection slips through using one or both of these tricks, we need to talk about the end game, because the speed you mentioned earlier is absolutely terrifying. What happens once Gootloader gets that foothold?
The alarm bell should be ringing loudly the moment that infection occurs, because they move with just staggering speed. Recent investigations show that network reconnaissance, that's the attackers mapping out your network, looking for domain controllers, identifying key servers and data, that process happens within about 20 minutes of the successful execution of that initial JavaScript file.
20 minutes. Wow.
And here is the kicker, something that should really worry anyone responsible for network defense. In at least one documented case, the victim's domain controller, which is basically the administrative key to the entire Windows network kingdom, was fully compromised within just 17 hours of that initial download click.
17 hours. That completely changes the definition of an emergency response, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We used to think we had maybe days to react. Now it sounds like we have hours, maybe just a lunch break.
It's incredibly fast, and they ensure persistence almost immediately, too. The campaign typically deploys something called the SUPR SOCKS5 backdoor. This gives them persistent remote access and a secure communication channel back to their servers. This isn't just a quick smash and grab. They are setting up shop, preparing for the next stage.
In that next stage is ransomware.
Almost always. What's critical here is understanding the business model. The Supper backdoor is directly tied to a group known as Vanilla Tempest. They're a known and highly active ransomware affiliate group. Gootloader acts as the initial access broker, the IAB, that finds the victims and then feeds the highest value targets over to Vanilla Tempest.
So Gootloader itself doesn't deploy the ransomware, it just opens the door for groups like Vanilla Tempest.
Exactly. That affiliation means Gootloader is directly linked to major ransomware families we hear about all the time, including Black Hat, Inc., Quantum Locker, Zeppelin, and Rosita.
So Gootloader isn't the final payload. It's the highly efficient, highly evasive supply chain manager for some of the world's most aggressive ransomware gangs.
That's a great way to put it. If you can effectively shut down Gootloader campaigns, you potentially choke the supply of fresh victims to multiple huge ransomware operations. That's why its resurgence and this renewed technical sophistication are such a big deal right now. It's a clear indicator that the IAB market isn't slowing down. If anything, it's just getting smarter and more targeted.
Okay, so what does this all mean for you, the person listening right now? If they're targeting these generic documents, who is truly most at risk here?
Well, the victim profile is incredibly broad, precisely because the focus is on those universal professional documents. This definitely includes legal departments searching for case forms, maybe HR teams looking for policy documents, administrative and procurement staff downloading invoice templates.
And smaller businesses, maybe?
Yeah, and perhaps most vulnerable are small businesses that maybe lack dedicated IT security staff. Also, remote workers using less strictly configured personal devices could be at higher risk.
Their strategy seems perfectly calibrated then, just to maximize potential victims. They target documents representing these universal business needs across organizations of basically all sizes.
And they exploit human behavioral patterns, specifically that urgency factor we talked about. If you are under a tight deadline and desperately need a specific contract template to close a deal or maybe process payroll, you are just far less likely to exercise the necessary caution when clicking that top download link on Google.
Right.
They turn that moment of time pressure into a moment of critical vulnerability for you and your organization.
Okay, so given the ingenuity of these evasion techniques, the font cloaking, the selective ZIP extraction, a simple antivirus check clearly isn't going to cut it anymore. What are the specific actionable defense strategies needed to mitigate this Gootloader threat?
It absolutely requires a multi-layered defense because, as we've seen, they're actively bypassing multiple layers of automated detection. First and foremost, you have to enforce strict sourcing policies for documents, meaning use only trusted, verified sources for document templates. Your company's internal libraries, official government or legal websites, maybe verified template providers you pay for. Treat any external, unknown site you just found via a quick Google search with extreme suspicion. Assume it could be malicious.
Okay, that makes sense. What about technical controls?
Technical controls are non-negotiable here. Configure your endpoint security, your antivirus or EDR, to flag or outright block standalone JS files by default. For most non-developer users, a JavaScript file has absolutely no legitimate business being downloaded as a document.
Right. That seems like a basic block that should be possible. Anything else on the tech side?
Well, if it's feasible in your organization, implementing application whitelisting is a very strong defense. This means you explicitly specify exactly which programs and scripts are allowed to run on endpoints, and everything else is blocked by default.
Ah, so Gootloader's JS file just wouldn't run at all.
Exactly. It fundamentally breaks their mechanism, which relies on running an unrecognized script file. And then, thinking about the ultimate end goal of Vanilla Tempest and the ransomware gangs, maintain offline, immutable backups. If they can't encrypt or delete your backups, you can recover without considering paying the ransom.
Critical point. And what about user education? If people know the trick, you know, the JS file hiding behind a Word icon, they might spot the danger before any system does.
User awareness is absolutely the critical frontline defense here. You need to train your teams to recognize these specific indicators immediately. That JS file extension masquerading as a PDF or Word file, teach them to look for unusual domain names in the search results or the address bar.
And the SEO poisoning aspect.
Yeah, and going back to the SEO poisoning, train them to be wary of search results that seem too perfectly tailored to a very specific or uncommon search query. That's a classic sign of SEO manipulation trying to target a niche need.
Okay, let's say worst case. Someone suspects they have clicked one of these files or maybe even accidentally ran that JavaScript file. What are the immediate incident response steps? Time is critical, right?
Speed is everything. Your immediate goal is to interrupt that 20-minute reconnaissance clock we talked about. First step, immediately disconnect the affected device from your network. And that means both wired Ethernet and Wi-Fi connections. Pull the plug, turn off the Wi-Fi.
And crucially, you said don't just shut down the computer.
Correct. Do not simply shut down the computer normally.
Why is that? Instinct might be to power off fast?
Because attackers often use that brief window during the standard shutdown process or the subsequent reboot to actually solidify persistent backdoors like that SEPR SoC KS5 we discussed. They install mechanisms designed to run automatically on the next boot. You need to physically isolate it immediately. Pull the network cord, disable wireless, then contact your IT security team or incident response provider immediately after isolating the machine. And do not, under any circumstances, attempt self-remediation like running antivirus scans yourself.
Why not try to fix it yourself?
Because you will likely destroy crucial forensic evidence that the security team needs to understand the scope of the breach, track the attacker's movements, and ensure complete removal. Just isolate and report.
This entire Gootloader campaign, it really is a masterclass in exploiting trust and just completely subverting detection systems.
Okay.
The ingenuity behind, like, swapping vector paths and custom fonts, and that selective extraction from malformed ZIPs, it's genuinely unsettling stuff.
It really is. And when you couple that ingenuity with that documented 17-hour sprint from the initial breach to full domain control compromise, well, it sets a terrifying new standard for the speed required for effective incident response, especially in targeted ransomware preparation.
So thinking about this, if the Gootloader operators have explicitly proven that they can effectively lie to the security industry's own detection tools, the scanners, the archive utilities, the source code analyzers, then the whole security paradigm seems to shift, doesn't it? It moves away from just trusting the system to maybe aggressively questioning the source of everything.
That seems to be the direction things are heading, yes.
So here's a final thought for you, our listener. Given that Gootloader has proven we can't always blindly trust the automated systems built to protect us, what new methods of verification, maybe even just mental checks, should you start incorporating into your own online behavior to counter this kind of sophisticated cat and mouse game? How do you adapt when the attackers are specifically targeting the tools designed to catch them?